not so rosy today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It's the Morning Open, a look at the broader economy as we start the business day. Is it a continuation of yesterday's oomph, or is it a bust? Let's dive in and ask, where's Wall Street? Market's down right now. The S&P 500 down about a third of a percent. The NASDAQ down nearly a percent. And the Dow down about 0.3% at this moment. Asian shares closed higher today. European markets higher right now as well. Microsoft reported profits in the latest quarter, fell 29%. Amazon.com reported today it posted a 10% drop in second quarter earnings. Shares are down right now, about 7%. Bill Stone is chief investment strategist at PNC Wealth Management. He joins us live from Philly this morning. Hi, Bill.
Good morning.
So we started the week with everyone talking about recovery and the Dow passed 9,000 yesterday. It seems expectations, though, this morning have been tempered just a bit with some of these not so great reports from Microsoft and Amazon. What's going on there?
Well, I think it's as you said. I also think part of it is as the market moves up and we've had quite a move off of the lows in, early to mid-July here, that expectations also move up. And so when a couple of these companies, Microsoft and Amazon, didn't quite post the sales numbers that Wall Street was expecting, you know, we see the sell-off that we're getting today.
So today we also have Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke and Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner and the FDIC Chairwoman Sheila Bair. They'll be on Capitol Hill to make their case about oversight reform in bank regulations. What's the takeaway from all of that? What are they expected to say and what are we all going to get from it?
Well, I guess to kind of bring it down to a point is I think everybody agrees that something needs to be done because obviously we all want to avoid what we just all went through and I guess you can say are still going through. But there's still disagreement over what has to be done. I would say that even that disagreement cuts across all the people that you mentioned even. You know, I think in one sense, maybe the markets are okay with it in the sense that we have a bit of gridlock when it comes to that because everyone's always worried about someone making a mistake or, you know, costing some business a profit center. So I think what we're apt to see is more wrangling around and a bit of gridlock on that standpoint, too.
Gridlock and perhaps not so much consensus.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Bill Stone, thanks so much for joining us today. We do appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right, take care. Some hourly workers get a raise today. The minimum wage jumps to $7.25 an hour. Advocates say it's good news for workers, but some economists say it could spell trouble. Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
As you might expect, employers aren't thrilled about paying workers more today for the same job they did yesterday, especially during a recession. Bill Dunkelberg is chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business.
Well, certainly it's going to raise costs substantially, especially for small businesses, where 80% of our costs are typically labor costs.
For those who get the raise, it won't go far. Heidi Scherholtz is an economist at the Economic Policy Institute.
When you account for inflation, the real value, the purchasing power of the minimum wage today is actually far lower than it was 40 years ago.
A full-time minimum wage worker will now earn less than $15,000 a year. On that income, a two-person family lives below the federal poverty level. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
The California Senate's approved a package of bills this morning that would balance the state budget. It had been in the hole by some $26 billion. It goes now to the state assembly, and if it's passed there, to Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, beyond that for his signature. You're listening to The Morning Report for Friday, July 24th, 2009, at marketplace.org. You know, there are still a few more weeks before school starts, but President Obama's already sharpening his pencils. Today, the administration is expected to announce that he has a whole lot of money for schools, if they're willing to follow the rules, Elisa Roth reports.
States will be able to compete for more than $4 billion in grants, but the money will only go to states that have taken clear steps toward reforming the education system. The administration's hoping that cash incentives will help encourage those reforms because schools have been forced to cut back in all kinds of areas. Christopher Swanson directs the Editorial Projects in Education Research Center. He says a few years ago, this kind of proposal might have been ignored. But lately, a lot of states have already started making the kinds of changes Obama's looking for, which should help.
Given kind of the movements that states have been already making themselves over recent years, plus, you know, honestly, the economic situation, I think it's going to get a serious hearing.
Two of the biggest changes Obama's pushing are tying teacher pay to student performance and trying to create common academic standards. Teachers' unions oppose any attempts to consider how students do when calculating teacher pay. The money will be distributed this year and next. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Congress faces a deadline next week to keep government R&D money flowing to small businesses. And there's a battle brewing over whether any of that funding should go to firms backed by venture capitalists, those powerful wheeler dealers of the high-tech economy. From the Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
The Small Business Innovation Research Program sets aside nearly $2 billion a year for everything from robotics to weapons research. Until now, only independently owned firms could qualify. The House bill would let in companies that have significant venture capital funding or are even controlled by VCs.
Just because you get venture financing doesn't mean you're rolling in the money.
Mark Heeson heads the National Venture Capital Association. He says startups often can't make it without VC money, but that shouldn't cut them off from government R&D. Lloyd Chapman of the American Small Business League says small businesses face enough challenges already.
I don't think we need a federal law that changes the definition of a small business to include firms that are actually owned by not only some of the nation's wealthiest investors, but potentially some of the largest VC firms.
A Senate bill maintains most current restrictions. If the chambers can't compromise, they'll probably extend the program as is into the fall. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The British economy is still shrinking. Figures out today show a sharper decline in GDP than many analysts there had forecast. The general verdict? Pretty dire. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, reports.
Britain's battered economy withered again in the last quarter. GDP shrank by 0.8%. That's better than in the horrendous first quarter, but still much worse than expected. One analyst said this is a wake-up call, a bucket of cold water for anyone already dreaming of recovery. Justin Urquhart-Stewart is with Seven Investment. He says the key to the continuing malaise is the consumer's lack of confidence and credit.
When you actually look at the British economy, it is 60% dependent upon consumer spending. And we can see from these figures, consumer spending especially, services and financial services, have been very badly hit.
Today's figures take the annual rate of contraction in the UK economy down to 5.6%. That's the worst in more than 50 years, and almost exactly the same rate of decline as in the United States. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
President Obama has said he wants a wholesale switch to electronic medical records for all Americans within the next 5 years. He says that'll make healthcare better and it'll lower the cost for everyone. Now, many hospitals and clinics around the country are way ahead of the president's deadline and have been rolling out computerized systems in phases. From WUWM in Milwaukee, Aaron Toner reports on a hospital that flips one big digital switch today.
Did you need some ALACs, dear?
No, I think everyone's good right now.
You feel okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Michael Hiller has terrible nausea after his latest round of chemo and has been at Frederick Hospital in Milwaukee for about a week.
I was diagnosed with advanced throat cancer back in January of 2005. So every day since then has been a steady uphill climb, you know, fighting for my life, I guess.
You have this wristband on, and I understand they scan that.
It's a barcode type of situation, yeah. It basically looks like a barcode, a little abstract painting.
One click on the barcode brings up all of Hiller's medications. Starting today, that one click will bring up his entire chart. That's because the hospital is making a switch from handwritten patient notes to electronic records that can be accessed anywhere. Dr. Dennis Maiman has been involved in the transition.
There are admittedly those who say that they don't want to bother with it, they don't like computers, they don't like, that's tough. That's tough. If you want to practice medicine in the not-so-distant future and you don't want to use the EMR, you will not be practicing medicine. That's the way it is.
Maimon is chief of neurosurgery at Fredert. He says the biggest benefit with EMRs is better communication. Everyone involved in a patient's care knows right away what's going on, what drugs the person's taking, and what tests were done. Dr. Maimon says electronic records save time and leave a lot less room for costly medical mistakes.
Now when I talk to a patient, I can type in a message. What I've said to the patients, that when that patient calls back the next day to talk to one of the nurses because he or she didn't understand what I said, there it is.
Fredert Hospital in Milwaukee has spent $70 million so far on its EMR project. Another local system has spent more than $150 million. There are still some hurdles. In Milwaukee, the different systems don't necessarily talk to each other, and that's the next big challenge. Officials say an integrated system across different facilities could save billions by lowering the number of duplicate tests and treatments. In Milwaukee, I'm Erin Toner for Marketplace.
President Obama's been beating the health care reform drum for weeks now, trying to get Congress and trying to get public opinion on his side. It is a contentious issue, one that's taking many forms. We want to give you an update on where Congress is on all of this. And for that, we bring in former Labor Secretary Robert Reich. He's the professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve.
So what's the debate at this point? Where are we going from here?
Well, here's the interesting thing. The AMA, American Medical Association, big pharmaceutical companies, and the private insurers are supportive of some sort of universal health care this time around. A big pharma, they see a lot of money in a mandate that requires every American to have health care. Private insurers also are seeing big bucks and are willing to go along as long as their business doesn't get drained away toward a so-called public option. And believe it or not, the AMA has also come out in support. They've been quietly told that doctors will do fine, too, and that Medicare reimbursement rates for doctors won't take a hit.
So these special interest groups are on board with the plan, right? But I understand there was a big hurdle in Congress.
Late last week, the Congressional Budget Office threw a monkey wrench into the works by reporting that the major plans being considered by the various committees in both the House and the Senate won't actually reduce long-term health care costs. In fact, they're likely to increase them. And that's made Republicans and even a lot of Democrats worried. Ironically, the major locus of opposition has now moved from the special interest groups, who are largely on board because they see opportunities to make money, to members of Congress who are concerned about long-term deficits created in part because the business groups have been bought off.
But the House is closer to agreement than the Senate, right? So why won't they at least vote before recess?
Well, they don't want to take any move before the Senate. What's emerging as the most popular way to pay for universal health care, at least in the House, is a surtax on families earning over $350,000 a year. But the last thing House members want to do is vote for a tax increase and then find that the Senate doesn't go along. They don't want to be hung out to dry.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Finally, in Alabama, alcohol control officials are pulling a California wine off the shelf. It's not bad or anything. The bottle's just a little too, shall we say, pungent. Seems the state doesn't like the label of the Cycles Gladiator wine. It features a French painter's 1895 profile of a nude, winged nymph on a bike. Some residents say they should focus on more important stuff. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. We say cheers and have a nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.